Thank you very much. I'm so glad you guys have made it today. A big round of applause for Bonnie and the hard work she's put in, as well as Aubrey. A big thank you to Patty and Francesca. Thank you guys so much for being here. And a big hand for Brian and his and all the technology he's helping us out with. Him and Lori both, you know. It takes all of us to make this happen. And you know, I'm very honored to be here. So I'll kind of start from the beginning. Back in 2009, I had... You know, I say I'd gotten in an accident, but I'll be honest to tell you, that time of my life, I was hanging around people I shouldn't have been hanging around and doing things I had no business doing. And the result of that was it put me in a position to where I'd gotten assaulted, and it caused me to lose my sight. And not really knowing what to do, my brother, he came up and took me down to Tennessee. And I was down in Tennessee for about 3 months, and, you know, I found out real quick why him and I live 3,000 miles apart. You know, I tried to get involved with the DVR down there, and they told me there was about a 6 month waiting list for me to get on. And, you know, between calling the mayor and calling the governor of Kingsport, Tennessee, and or of Tennessee, they really weren't prepared. So what they did was they mailed me a cane with written instructions, and I thought it was kind of funny. Okay. And you know, I will say this, you know, my brother and I, we didn't really get along. So I grabbed that cane and I took off walking one night. And long story short, police officer pulled up, asked me if I knew what I was doing and where I was going. And I said, yeah, take me to the airport. But he ended up taking me back to my brother's house. And, you know, I got on the phone and I called up the Alaska Center for the Blind and I spoke with Jocelyn. She told me to get a hold of Sue Ellen O'Connor with DVR. So that's what I did. I flew back to Alaska, and I got involved with the Alaska Center for the Blind. And, you know, there's a person in this room that I have to give a lot of credit to, and that's Bonnie Lucas. She was one of my very first instructors. And, you know, I'm 6'1", 200 pounds. Bonnie is maybe 5 foot. Yeah. Maybe 100 pounds. And carries herself like she's 7 foot tall. And it was one of those aha moments, you know, at a 6'1", 200 pounds, struggling with blindness and seeing how this lady carries herself. And I just put my head down and said, suck it up, dude. You need to get on with this. And I did. And I give Bonnie a lot of credit for how I carry myself today with my blindness, because she sure set a hell of an example for me to follow. And I do that to this day. You know, I've got a guide dog, and we are travelers. We love traveling. There's nothing more rewarding than navigating your way through the Atlanta airport. Yeah. Well, and the saving grace was, you know, my mom worked with Delta Airlines. She retired, so I was a non-rev standby brat for a good 20-plus years of flying. So I had a lot of muscle memory of the airports in itself, and I've never had a problem. Well, let me take that back. That was a dang lie. I had a real big problem asking for help. You know, I had to learn how to advocate for myself and ask for help. And it was put to me like this. They said, when you had your sight, did you enjoy helping people? I'd say, yeah. It made me feel good. I was able to be of service. And they said, who do you think you are to deny someone else that great feeling of being able to help you? And it was another one of those, oh, God, you're right. So, you know, I had to learn how to ask for help, you know, and then I had to learn how to let that person help. And, well, I've got scars on my head from people helping me and just not knowing how to do it the right way. So, you know, I got involved with the Alaska Center for the Blind, and Bonnie was my computer instructor, and we did a little bit of computer, and we did a lot of talk about blindness and daily activities and living and just everything under the sun. And, you know, at that point in time, I was coming to the center every day, you know, and, you know, I'm so grateful for that. And she got me involved with the National Federation of the Blind. The first one I went to, I think, was in 2016. I was a Kenneth Jernigan Scholarship winner, where they helped me. They gave me an $800 grant, which was great. You know, it was very much needed. Helped me pay for the rooms, helped me be able to do some fun things that were going on there. You know, my first national convention was in Florida, and if anybody's been to Florida in July, it's a little bit warm, and it likes to rain. So. It was a great experience. And funny thing was, there's 3,000 of us sitting in the big ballroom, and the military's doing the color guard, and the band's walking through the audience, and there's, you know, 3,000 of us there. There's hundreds of guide dogs, and the guy hit the snare drum, boom, and the dog goes roof. That was the only time I heard a dog bark the whole time we were there. You know, it was so wonderful seeing all these blind people engaging with one another and, you know, sharing their strengths, their experience, their struggles, their triumphs. And, you know, I was hooked on it. So, you know, wasn't too long after that, I became president. And, you know, and since I'll trail back to where, you know, when I got my job at the Center for the Blind, I had to go to, I didn't have to. I got the opportunity to go to the Louisiana Center for the Blind. And my application for working at the Center for the Blind was, I had to go to the Center for the Blind on a daily basis to work on my computer skills. And I wasn't going to be able to get any more help from DVR until I could type 30 words a minute, you know. And application for working at the center was the garbage disposal went out in the ADL kitchen. So, well, heck, I can fix that. So go purchase a garbage disposal, and being the manual skills person, was able to put it in. So, you know, once we showed the individual that was the project manager there that I was capable of doing that, and they gave me an opportunity to get employed there. So I flew down to the Louisiana Center for the Blind and met a wonderful man by the name of Jerry Darnell. He goes by the name of JD. And I got to shadow his industrial arts class. He has a massive, beautiful shop. And I got to shadow him in his way of teaching individuals. Of course, he is he was a sighted individual, but one of his assistants was a blind guy who was an engineer. So we had the standard training on one side of the shop, and then he had the personal projects on the other side. So, you know, we learned how to, and if you guys have been through my shop, you learn the click rule, the talking tape, and we make braille cells, and then we come up with different projects that you want to make. And, you know, nice thing is that, you know, I know a lot of you guys in here. And you guys know me, and you know, we've all experienced our struggles, and we've experienced our triumphs, and you know that I like to laugh and enjoy myself, and you know, that's been one of the ways that I was truly able to accept my blindness and not let it define who I am. And being part of the National Federation of the Blind has really helped me grow in that area. You know, a lot of the things that I learned down there at the Louisiana Center for the Blind is things that I carried back up to the Alaska Center for the Blind. And when I first started working there at the center, the NFB and the center were two different entities. And it wasn't, the two didn't get along at that point in time, we'll say, and Bonnie can attest to that. But slowly we have started to combine the two, and in doing so, you know, we've taken on kind of that mentality. At the Center for the Blind, I think 5 of the 6 or 7 instructors are blind or low vision, and what better way to learn how to do something blind than from a blind person? So, you know, we really connect on a personal basis with each and every one of you guys when you come to the center, and when you get involved with the National Federation of the Blind. You know, I'm just really grateful to be in the position that I am today, and to see you guys here. And of course, I was all over the map there. So if you have any questions for me, please Please ask. Crickets, all right. Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Hi, Kevin.
Hi.
So, what was the year you first went to convention?
Yeah, it was 2015. I went, actually, Brian and Lori, I got to shadow go along with them when they went. Yeah.
And where was it held?
It was in Florida. We had a contract with, Shingle Rosen. Yeah.
Shingle.
I think Shingle.
Yeah, I worked for a long stint.
Yeah. And
well,
yeah.
Fire wings for you guys to go.
Well, as you know, you don't sleep much when you're there. Tom had a good time. The room was pretty much to himself.
I don't know if I was there by you, though.
I heard stories about that year. We had quite a few people come because in that year, I guess I should be on a mic.
Yeah.
Thank you. So that year, there were 2 years where DVR was paying for students, young people to go, which was wonderful. That's not happened in a very long time. And I heard stories of people hardly being in their room at all, like being going in the swimming pool at 1 a.m., things like that.
Allegedly.
No, I believe it.
There. Yes.
Did you need to explore the town, the city that you were in?
Nope. I think most people, you know, I'll tell you this, I never have time. Even when I wasn't a president, I seemed to find meetings to go to and things I wanted to learn about and people. I just mostly stay around the hotel. Maybe one night I would go and get go out of the hotel to get something to eat. And that definitely happened this last time. I never left. I went across the street to the other hotel. For those who don't know, we were in Louisiana. I want to just say something about Amaya's question about what's the difference. Number one, you know, there's 35 of us max at this point, but I hope we get to where there's at least 50 and possibly more. But a normal a national convention, there are upwards of 2,300 to 2,400 people.
If not more, close to 3,000.
Yeah.
I know.
And when you walk down the halls, there are people everywhere. You hear canes tapping on the hard surfaces.
What was so reassuring about it, though, is they have, I call them the town criers, that have somebody going, escalators this way.
And anybody can help with that. I'm always running late, and so I feel bad because I've never been a crier, and I really should be. I've gone enough. But so when you're, like, for example, if you're going to register, it's time for registration, and you say, I'm going to go, and then you think, how am I going to get there? This place is so big. Lo and behold, you get down to the first floor. You walk a few feet. Registration this way. And then you go on and somebody else, registration this way. And you just.
Yeah. And not only that, but you'll get an email. You'll get a PDF of explicit diagram of the area in which you're at, which is so helpful.
And the Braille monitor always has a hotel description.
Yeah.
And it's very detailed. It says when you walk in the door, this will be to your left. I'm terrible at map descriptions. I just like, oh, yeah, right. I can't even follow it. That's the way my brain doesn't work. So what else can we say about conventions?
That's where if you have a guide dog, I'd target Raja for a room. He'd take me there every time. I'd target him for the escalators. Yeah. He'd get me there every time.
And
it's been
so
much fun.
That's great for a guide dog.
In 2017, after the convention was over, me and another member, we went to Walt Disney, to Disney World, and stayed at the Disney Music Hotel with the guitar-shaped pool or the piano. And we rocked Disney World, you know, in the 7 days we were there. We went to the four different places, four different theme parks, and then we went to the two water parks. And honestly, they treated us like royalty. We'd get off of one ride, they'd have an air-conditioned car waiting for us, we'd go to another one. And it was, never felt so peaceful.
You died
in my
and
life.
Gone to heaven, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and you know, of course, it would have been rude of me to turn down that type of combination.
Oh, I would not want to be rude.
Personal concierge got us where we were going, but it was just so much fun to be able to navigate and be part of something that big. And that's what it's all about. It's that social interaction, being a part of something that's much bigger.
Oh, the exhibit hall.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the exhibit hall is like a blind person's shopping dream.
It is.
Totally. Anybody disagree? Oh, my gosh. It is so amazing. We had, so someday, if we can ever get enough Alaskans there,
yeah. That's right. That's right. And we will again. We'll go to Indian Meats and we'll have a table again. And, you know, that's so much fun.
Wait.
I think we have a chance of selling it more because we haven't had it for a few.
And I think it was 2017. We had 22 Alaskans there. Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was, you know, and I have to, you know, pat Raja on the back because I target him for the chair where we were sitting there every day. I met so many people. It was, you know, I'm a big promoter of Guide Dog and Guide Dog users, you know. I love what they do for us, and I couldn't imagine not having them. So when I die and go away, I want to come back as my Guide Dog.
Yeah. My turn?
Yeah.
Okay. Tiara, I think it might have been mentioned earlier, but where is the next national convention going to be held?
Houston, Texas.
Ah, I was actually potentially planning a vacation to go see some family in Louisiana and be flying into Houston. So when is it?
July.
Okay, so...
First through seventh.
So...
First through sixth.
Can I ask another question?
Yeah.
So the first through the sixth?
Yeah.
Oh, July? Okay. And my other question is, if I were to go and pay my own way and I had family to stay with, like before and after and whatnot, how much does it cost to attend?
Well, that's all going to determine on what the airfare is going to be come this next summer. And
registration.
Yeah. But here's the thing, Tiara. You would be possible for the Kenneth Jernigan Scholarship, the $800 scholarship. So, yeah, it's for first time attendees.
Well, I have been asking to take on this, but last I know people were asking for
Yeah, it's all inclusive. Yeah.
Well, so you get that scholarship and you make a difference. And if the affiliate raises money,
they can help.
Between $200 and $500 for each person going out. If the family might have a round figure of maybe, I don't know, there's a requirement. You don't know what
you're going
to do.
Thank you.
Yeah, we can talk more. But the hotel may get an excellent rate.
Wow.
Yeah. And when you stay in a room with three children, they all stay free. So with the view, you'll be 190, whatever it is. So I think it's still.
Well, they get the best rate that they can get. You know, there's going to be 2,000 to 3,000 people showing up at the hotel to accommodate them, and they're going to give them the best rate they possibly can. So, yeah. Like a daycare?
Yeah.
Oh, at the same time?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So you would be out doing your thing in the kitchen.
How can an advance
get
to, like, books and stuff?
When does that, like, start for...
January, March,
okay.
No, it's going to be in July.
No.
I'll see that.
Oh.
Like, to guarantee a room at the hotel and all the things.
Oh, so
booking begins, what,
January?
Oh, well, I mean, earlier than that.
Yeah, earlier than that.
So the hotel registration will open on January 1st. Convention registration will open March 31st for pre-registration, and it will close the end of May. If you don't pre-register, you can still register for the convention, but you will pay more. Now, I want to clarify something in Kid Camp. You can't leave your kids in Kid Camp and go see your family.
No.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah. So, yeah. So if you're participating in the convention, then you can have your kids go to Kid Camp, and that has been run until next year. Up until next year, it was run by Carla McQuillan, who has her own Montessori schools. She's a good friend of mine. Kid Camp is a professional setup, so we have teachers in the rooms, and the ratios are good.